Today we begin a very important class. And we begin with a simple little experiment. I'd like you to join with me in identifying yourself. Who are you? Please clarify this within your mind. In silence, sit there and ask yourself, who am I? And formulate a positive, firm answer that you can live with. You need 20 seconds and no more to know who you are, because if in 20 seconds you don't know, you have a problem. But now, with your eyes closed, continue the silence and listen carefully while I enumerate three possibilities for your identification. You will hear things that you do not agree with, and you will hear one identification which is correct. Please listen carefully. Number one, you are the child born in your mother's womb, now grown into adulthood. Is that you? Number two, you are the child of God, made in the finite image and likeness of God, corporeal and mortal. Is that you? Number three, you are the infinite child of God, eternal like your Father, incorporeal like your Father, immortal like your Father, and perfect like your Father, possessing only the infinite, perfect qualities of your Father and no other qualities. Is that you? Now, of these three, you have made a selection. Let's go over them. You know, of course, that number one is a false identification. The belief in human birth automatically denies divine sonship. And anyone who is accepting human birth as the beginning of life is calling man his father and not God. Number two is also a false identification. We are all children of God, that is true. But corporeality can never be the image and likeness of God. And there are millions of worshippers who believe in evil, sickness, sorrow, physical disability, human problems, and death itself, none of which can happen to the image and likeness of God. These unenlightened worshippers call themselves children of God, but they believe in a physical, finite, imperfect self that is subject to death, and one they hope will resurrect after death. This common belief violates the divine law that God is one. And unfortunately, it makes the entire human race a prodigal son, unable to live in the kingdom of God. We come to number three. Your correct identification. This is exactly who you are. This is who God says you are. This is who the acknowledged spiritual leaders of the world say you are. And unless it is who you know you are going to live as a mortal being, a mortal shadow of your true self. And you will live the dream of life, immortality, instead of life itself. All mortals are number 666 in the revelation of St. John, unable to rise above mortality, constantly dying, and constantly reincarnating back to the mortal dream. Now, this experiment is not finished. As you think, so you are. What you think you are becomes the cross or the crown of your life. If you identify as mortal flesh, your false judgment will make you live, act, and reflect the limitations of mortality. If you identify as immortal spirit, made of God's divine substance, you will overcome the appearance of mortal imperfections in a transient body of imperfect flesh. Your true identity is the key to the kingdom of God. And so to complete this little experiment, let's make certain that you identify correctly and that your identification is written in your soul in divine light so that it shines through your activities on earth. Please, with eyes closed, select number three as your identification. Bring it up now to the level of your daily consciousness. I am the infinite child of God. Infinite child of God. I am made of the Spirit of God. I am as immortal as my Heavenly Father. I am as incorporeal as God. I, in my true self, am as perfect as God. Through God's grace, I possess all the infinite perfect qualities of God without opposite. I am the life of God, which is eternal. I am the undying Son of God. And as the Son of God, I am the never born, never dying expression of a never born, never dying Creator. I am breaking the false bonds of the universal mortal dream. I do not live inside a parenthesis. Like God, myself lives before the world, before the world dream, and is unaffected by changes in the world dream. Myself will still be made in the image and likeness of God when there is no world, and my eternal self will be living outside the illusion of a world when all the illusions of this world have vanished. This is my permanent identity now. And in this permanent identity, I glory. For here and now, as the Son, I glorify the Father. In this eternal identity, thou seest me. Thou seest the Father. There is no God and me. I and the Father are one. When you are asked who you are, you will not give this identity to the world, for it will not understand. But in your heart of hearts, this must be the identity with which you travel day in and day out. So please, practice it. Practice self-identification daily until you can never be trapped into mortal identity. This is your real self. It alone knows divine truth. It alone knows the divine will. It alone is one with Source. And it has already conquered death. To thine own self be true, and you will fulfill every divine law through grace. We are aware that for many students, the spiritual path is a very lonely one. And this loneliness may continue for a long time. Back in the material dream, we enjoyed many friends, many forms of pleasure. But something in us changed when inner experiences began to awaken us. We were tantalized by breathtaking insights into an entirely new universe. The dream became transparent. We could see through the web of deceit and deception that holds mankind imprisoned in false boundaries, false limitations, false fears. Sometimes it felt that the ground was breaking out from beneath our feet, being ripped away. The old world was collapsing. And even our old self seemed like a stranger. These were, and perhaps are, difficult times for many of us. Times of adjustment. Good friends change and drop away. Family members look at us and wonder about us. And sometimes we become strangers even in our own home. We try to explain, but to our dismay, the ones we love remain in the dream and seem separated from us by an invisible wall that is thicker than steel. They can see us, touch us, hear us, even love us. But they cannot climb outside their dream into the unconditioned universe where we are finding a new home and a new self. And so we have a problem. Responding to spiritual impartations in our soul, living in the presence of God, we can no longer return to the old dream. And so for a while we may grieve, we may even feel guilty. But think for a moment. This guilt, this grief, is a temptation, a trap. A very subtle temptation to make us violate the will of God. For when the Master made it clear to leave mother and father for my sake, he was revealing the invisible spiritual nature of all life, including your family. A human situation, whether it's family, business, health, whatever, may present a picture of discord. But spiritual re-identification of yourself and your family, of yourself and your business associates, of yourself and your spiritual body. A spiritual re-identification of life, of the entire material scene, will bring to you the invisible power of grace and the miracle of spirit, recognized, accepted, lived in, has a very unique way of adjusting the picture for the benefit of all. There are many human ways to meet life situations, and there are probably several spiritual ways, but there is one, only one, recommended by God. And this one achieves the most for you and for your spiritual household. And that is when every possible solution drops away except this one. And then clearly, unmistakably, your whole life purpose stands revealed before you. Think of it for a moment. You must be Christ. You must be Christ. There's no room for humanhood. You must live, move, have your being in and as Christ. You must represent God on earth. That is your mission. I know, perhaps you thought you were striving for Christ consciousness. And perhaps you thought you were making progress. But now in this flash of divine clarity, suddenly you see and you feel the difference, the vast difference between being Christ without opposite and being a human seeking Christ. What you thought was commitment up to this moment was really good humanhood seeking spirit. Do you glimpse the difference? Do you feel it? To be Christ, not seek Christ, is the realization that now envelops your being. For instinctively, you know that only Christ has the power to fulfill the commands and commandments and will and purpose of God. So if you've been searching for the pass key to divine fulfillment, today's class is dedicated to you specifically. Humanhood, even good humanhood, can never glorify God. Mortality can never attain eternal life. Corporeality can never walk in divine perfection. Infinite way is the path to eternal sonship with God, eternal fulfillment, total fulfillment of God's purpose in you. If these goals represent your commitment, your success depends on the extent that you live in your Christ identity. There are no substitutes, no halfway measures, no shortcuts, no easier ways. And so how to live in this world as Christ, the Son of God, is the God-given opportunity and blessing that awaits us. And now we approach it with reverent meekness for the Father's guidance. Let us be still. No words need be voiced. The Father reads. The purpose in your heart to be the Christ, to be the living Son of God. Before you ask, I shall answer. I have revealed my Son to you. You have seen his work. You have seen his power. You have seen his love. All that and more dwells within you now. You are my Son, and all that I have is thine now. Perhaps the greatest teaching on earth is the reappearance of Christ after crucifixion. Every year at Eastertide, the Christian world pays tribute to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But something is missing. Something is overlooked. The spiritual meaning behind the event is not understood. Instead of the revolutionary message of life presented to mankind by God, material-minded men have been blinded by human vision. And they have seen a false resurrection that never took place. Ignorant of the quality of eternal life, they have actually rejected the Christ teaching, and they have perpetuated the illusion of human death. You should know that as long as we continue to make Easter a celebration of Christ rising from the dead, we ourselves will continue to die. And we will continue to imprison mankind in the false power of death, which Christ exposed and defeated. To understand the trap into which mankind has stumbled, we must first understand the nature of God as Spirit. God is Spirit, says John, and that Spirit is immortal, that Spirit is eternal, incorporeal, infinite, and indivisible. We know that God is one. We know that Christ is one with God, and all the qualities of God are the qualities of Christ, because Son, all that I have is thine. We know that Christ is the image and likeness of God. And because God is Spirit, Christ is the same Spirit, one Spirit. Because God is perfect, Christ is perfect, because they are one. Because God is immortal and eternal, Christ is immortal and eternal, because they are one. God and Christ are one Spirit, one Self, one life. So far, are you in agreement? Now take the next inevitable step. Can God live and Christ die? That would be true, wouldn't it? Can Spirit God live and Spirit Christ die? If Spirit is indivisible, can immortal God be one with a mortal Christ? So you see, when we teach that Christ died, we are teaching that Christ is mortal, not one with God, not eternal, and not made of indivisible spirit. And when we teach that Jesus died, we deny his Christhood, his spirit, his immortality, his oneness with God. And we also deny that God is one infinite Self without opposite. Again, look at God's eternal life, which is in Christ, his eternal Son, his eternal image and likeness. Can God's eternal life in Christ die? And so when we see the death of Christ on the cross, What are we seeing? If Christ cannot die, we are seeing false images, illusions. Our senses cannot see the Spirit of God, the Christ of God, and if the Spirit of God called Christ could not die, what died? Nothing died. And if nothing died, what was resurrected? Words are very deceptive, particularly when the speaker walked the earth as far back as 2,000 years ago and spoke in a language that even today has different meanings. Paul said that Jesus was raised from the dead. What did he mean? To Paul, as to Jesus, the dead meant the mortal human race. Raised meant awakened, lifted above. He meant that Jesus was lifted above the concept of mortality. And this, to material sense, which had witnessed the crucifixion, it came to mean that Jesus died and then was raised up by God. This belief in the mortality of Jesus obscured the message of eternal life and gave us a false meaning of resurrection and concealed the truth that every man has the power to rise in Christhood above death to eternal life. Christ appeared on earth after crucifixion. We were being taught how to overcome the illusion of death. The rising of Christ from mortality was our passkey to the kingdom of God. How it was accomplished by divine guidance, then, is the identical way that it can be accomplished now. The secret lies in the mystery of grace. And that mystery is given to us many times by Christ, and in this chapter, by Joel. Christ can never die. Christ can never die. That is the message of the crucifixion and the resurrection. Christhood is a state of eternal life. Instead of dying and hoping to be resurrected into heaven, which is the mistake mankind has been hearing since the false teaching about the resurrection of Jesus, Christ teaches us how to enter into oneness with our source and to let eternal life express through us. You do not die. Christ does not die. Instead, you become Christed. You realize your oneness with Source as a union that existed before your human birth And this realization of Christhood, practiced, lifts you out of mortality into the experience of your spiritual body and your spiritual life. And for this reason, Christ says to the woman at the well, I, Christ, in you, am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in his Christhood, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And though he were dead means, though he abides in mortality, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Clearly, the teaching is that if you cannot die, you don't need to be resurrected. But Christhood, realized, is your resurrection, because it lifts you into eternal life out of the deadness called mortality. Belief in the mortality of Christ is a human tragedy. And by accepting the false Easter, we have rejected the real Easter. We made death more powerful than God. We believe that God's image and likeness could die, even though Christ said, "Whoever believeth on me shall never die." But today, in preparation for your own transition, we know two truths that the world has overlooked for 2,000 years. One, Christ can never die. Christ is eternal. There has never been a dead Christ or a resurrected Christ since the world began. That's truth number one. Christ means eternal life, never separated from eternal God. And the second truth is also part of the real Easter. It was necessary for God to teach that death can be defeated by oneness with the source of eternal life. Transfiguration, from form to essence, was a preview, witnessed by three disciples. The senses of man were limited to sight and touch, and so the problem was, how could God give proof to man that higher life, eternal life, existed here for all men in dimensions beyond reach of the senses? But not beyond reach of the Christed man. To demonstrate this eternal life for all men was the revolutionary plan for which Christ came into visible form. He was here to reveal the divine nature of every man as the universal, eternal Christ. Mortals, when they say I, mean their human identity. Their physical selves. But Christ, when Christ says I, he means his Christhood, his divine identity, his eternal, incorporeal, infinite spirit. And this is important. I can never leave you means Christ can never leave you. I am the way means Christ is the way. I never means Jesus. It always means eternal life can never leave you. Immortal spirit can never leave you. Infinite Christ can never leave you. I am the life means that your Christ identity is the real life. I am the resurrection means that your acceptance of infinite Christ lifts you out of mortality, out of potential deadness, and raises you from the possibility of death. So the second great truth that Christ was teaching by appearing on earth after crucifixion was, one, Christ can never die. Two, your real identity is Christ. Your real identity can never die.